Hi, and welcome to Happiness Through Hardship, the podcast, where we share positive stories and suggestions about finding hope, resources, and connections to help us all get through hard times. I'm Karen Sullivan, a mom, an author, and a stage 4 cancer patient who's always looking around me for inspiration. I believe in surrounding myself with people and experiences that make me smile. And that's what I'm hoping to do for you today. So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's get started. Hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to Dr. Pooja Mithani, a registered pharmacist, certified nutrition specialist, and functional medicine practitioner. Pooja is an expert in the crossover between science and health coaching. She is also medical science liaison for Body Bio, the lead integrative and functional nutritionist for Philadelphia Integrative Medicine, and the owner of her own entrepreneurial venture, Pooja Mithani Wellness, LLC. Here to teach us about the best approach to our everyday health and wellness, including the well-being of our guts, immune system, and hormones, including a talk about supplements, is Pooja. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here because, listen, anybody knows if you followed me or if you just met me, I started a brand after my stage 4 cancer diagnosis called Pretty Wellness. And it was all about taking small steps towards better health and happiness. And so Happiness Through Hardship, the podcast, obviously fits in that bucket. And my love the last 10 years has really been learning about how we all can take these small steps towards better health. Now, you don't have to have, like, clearly I'd stage 4. So I wanted to do whatever I could. I had that fire underneath me. However, no matter where you're at in life, whether you are like hitting that middle age and menopause is right in front of you, whether you've been through menopause, or whether you're young and fun and just don't feel great, it is worth looking into these approaches that you can take in your life. Now, you know, in our bio as it is, we're talking about how you're a functional medicine practitioner. Can you first tell us a little bit about what is functional medicine? Because I feel like that gets thrown around a lot. And do we really even know what it means?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to dive into it. So I actually have like a short version and a long version to help define that. So what I would say the short version would be that functional medicine, functional nutrition, it's really this emerging science that focuses on using food as medicine to prevent, to diminish, to reverse chronic illness, as well as to support general health and wellness.
Is it just food or is it also other elements, whether it would be exercise or mindfulness?
Right. So we are also talking about lifestyle as well. So food first, maybe we amend that to say food first, supplement first, lifestyle first, approach to taking care of your well-being.
Oh, this is so what I love to talk about. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit. I gave the standing bio on you, the things that we researched on you, and you were quite an impressive woman. I'd love for you to tell us in your own words a little bit about yourself and how you got here.
Yeah, it's a bit of a windy road.
Always is, right?
Yeah, it always is. But I guess you could say my journey started over a decade ago, and it was my own personal health journey. I would say that probably many practitioners who enter this field have that personal health journey for themselves or that of a loved one, and that really opens their eyes to this new world. But it was my last year of pharmacy school. I ended up dealing with a lot of GI and hormonal issues. I gained like 25 pounds over the course of 6 months. I was dealing with hair loss, acne, irregular and missing periods, a lot of fatigue. And I think a good portion of the practitioners and, you know, through the conventional medicine approach kind of just dismissed it, saying that, oh, you are just a young person in your 20s. This is pretty normal. But it wasn't until a year later that I was finally diagnosed with PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and then the catch-all IBS or irritable bowel syndrome. And There was some relief, I would say, in getting that diagnosis because I finally had an answer.
Right.
But it was still, being that I was in my young 20s, it was still a shock. It was still a lot for me to take in. So that's where it all kind of started. And the really, really the main kind of point that really shook me to my core was that everything that I read about PCOS at that time was describing the potential fertility challenges that I would experience in the future. So because I'd just graduated from pharmacy school, I kind of knew my meds, right? And so I'd done enough research around the various meds that could support me. I had a full conversation with my doctor, my endocrinologist, who diagnosed me. We put together a treatment plan, which included metformin, oral contraceptives, spironolactone, all for the management of my symptoms, and then likely IVF when I was ready to start my own family. But looking back, there was not even a single conversation around diet and nutrition, not even a single kind of question around, hey, what do you eat? What are you putting in your mouth 3 times a day at least? So that's kind of where it started. But there's a little more to it. But if you have anything you want to,
right, to say. I will say that my first diagnosis with cancer, I was just a good patient. Mm-hmm. I barely asked any questions other than what do I need to do? It really became, and I will say my aha moment wasn't the first time I was diagnosed with cancer. It was the second time when it was stage 4, because now a lot of things had changed in my life. I was a little bit older. I now had a baby. I had this fire that I wanted to make sure. So I was willing to do whatever it took. And I started to do some research on my own, and that was where I found it. And then I go back to my doctors and I would ask them, what do you think about what should I eat this? Should I not eat that? And luckily I have a brilliant oncologist who's actually a pharmaceutical scientist as well. And he said, no, that's not my specialty. I really didn't study that. Why don't you go to so-and-so? So I will say he didn't shoot me down, which I really respect him for that. He just sent me to somebody else who was able to have that conversation with me, because to your point, you probably weren't told any of that, because a lot of doctors haven't been schooled in nutrition or functional sciences, which, you know, now I hope they are. So you had mentioned just earlier that functional medicine often starts with the food. So I want to just kind of jump in and have you tell us a little bit, like, why is nutrition important for the body?
Yeah. So I just want to comment and say that, yes, kind of how the realm that you, or the rabbit hole that you went into about, okay, I'm going to start researching on my own. That's really where I ended up going to. This little thought kept popping up, like, is this really it? Am I supposed to take these medications forever? I feel better, but I'm not thriving. And I thought I would be thriving with this plan. So that's kind of what led me down this whole path of functional medicine, functional nutrition. But to go back to your question, why is nutrition so important? Is because it quite nutrition, or what you put into your mouth, what you're eating on a regular basis, quite literally will dictate the biochemical reactions or responses that can take place within your cells. So if your cells don't have the raw material or the raw ingredients that it needs to run certain biochemical processes, all of a sudden, that's where the imbalances start and begin. Your body will try to latch onto what may look similar to that specific nutrient. So maybe you don't have enough magnesium in your cells, but maybe magnesium looks quite a bit like a heavy metal, maybe like mercury. So all of a sudden your body will start to latch onto the mercury, if that is found within your bloodstream, and try to mimic that same biochemical response or reaction. Not very successfully, right? Because mercury is not going to act the same way. But that is the starting point of disease, is when you don't have the raw materials that your body needs, quite literally, to run the machinery and the operations within the cell.
Oh, wow. So, and it doesn't even have to be disease like the disease I have, or, you know, we'll say the chronic illnesses that you have with IBS. It could be even just your immunity,
right,
kind of getting kicked and then you getting sick more often, which may lead to something else, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what we eat influences our production for hormones and neurotransmitters. Like you said, it's regulating your immune system. It's going to help either balance your blood sugar or, you know, cause blood sugar levels to go a little haywire. It can manage your muscle strength, or sorry, your bone strength, your muscular tone, your skin health, your brain function, gut health, your weight, and just the chronic inflammatory levels in your body. So it's quite profound.
Well, and that's why I feel like I want to shout from the mountaintops that when you, the listener, whoever you might be out there, when you're not feeling great, and it's been more than a few weeks, right? You can get sick and get run down. If it seems like it's lingering, go see a functional medicine specialist or a functional functional health practitioner, whatever it's being titled. Because I found in my experience, they dig deeper. Again, it's about like that root cause. It's not just about fixing the symptom. Because if you fix a symptom, it may or may not help the long-term problem.
Right.
And that's why I wholeheartedly really believe in it. Because listen, I also believe in going to the doctor. I've been to the doctor for various things and they do help me, give me medication. I might have a problem that they can solve. But if it's something you, especially if you've been to the doctor and they're, and you're not happy with how you're feeling after that, I think this is a pathway to finding out some different information and ways that you can help. So, you know, it's not so easy. We could say that, oh, you just got to eat better. What does that look like? What do you tell people when, if we know that it starts with what you eat in your body, because your cells are, you need them to be healthy and you need to fuel them with probably a variety of healthy foods. What do you tell people when they're probably that first step on your doorstep, like, I need something to change?
Right. Yeah, that is such a good question. And there could be, the answer that I give can be that there is kind of a foundational approach that I would suggest for nearly any person that would walk into my door. And then from that point on, once we have that groundwork or that framework, that's when we can get granular based on their genetics, based on their health conditions that they're presenting with, based on their health goals. So there can be a lot of what I call fine tuning, but okay. What I would say the kind of the broad approach or the approach that can impact most people would actually revolve around blood sugar stability. Okay. So it's moving past the conversation that nutrition is merely a caloric need. You know, that it's, or we're moving past saying that nutrition equals calories. Nutrition, yes, there is an energy need, like, you know, equivalent to that. That's the calorie piece of it. But nutrition is quite literally going to impact, like I said, all these downstream physiological properties. So the starting point would be, I would say around blood sugar stability, because when you have balanced blood sugar, that's going to make sure that your hormones are still in line. That's going to help ensure that your chronic inflammation levels are kept at a minimal level. So that is my go-to.
Can I just jump in quickly and ask, one hears a lot about trying to stabilize blood sugar when somebody's mm-hmm. diabetic. Can you just talk a moment about what does that mean for, okay, if you don't have a problem with, you know, that you're leaning towards diabetes or pre-diabetes, I think you're talking about why it's important, but I want to just make sure we hit that, because so many times I feel like I've heard things and not that I discount it because I'm interested in this, but one mm-hmm. might, because I'm like, oh, I don't have high blood sugar.
Right.
You know, so can you talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is what I talk about day in and day out with patients and clients. So you do not have to have a diagnosed condition like type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes to be concerned with blood sugar or to keep that notion top of mind. I would argue that every single human being on planet Earth should eat in a way where your blood sugar is balanced. And So sometimes that will reflect on your lab markers, right? Someone may say, I actually, for the first time, have an elevated A1C. It's not quite at that threshold where a doctor would diagnose me with diabetes, but you know what? My trend year after year is that it's starting to increase. Or my fasting glucose, it used to be in the 90s. And now all of a sudden it's, when I wake up in the morning, it's in the hundreds or even higher than that. But they're not quite diabetic yet. So many times when I see that pattern, it's just a trend making its way towards that diagnosis. So you may actually receive that diagnosis 5, 7, 10 years down the line. You're just not quite there yet from a data point of view for your doctor to diagnose you. But I would say many, many of us are kind of on that spectrum of a blood sugar imbalance. And sometimes it is overdoing it on the refined carbohydrates. But what I'm also noticing as a trend nowadays is that there's a growing momentum around the plant-based movement. And I actually grew up as a vegetarian, so I still fully support that movement. But I think what a lot of us are forgetting in that is the incorporation of enough protein. And so blood sugar stability also means having enough of the other macronutrients. For example, having enough protein on your plate, having enough of that fiber, having a healthy fats, and then leaving a portion for healthy, unrefined carbohydrates and starches.
Now, when you eat a ton of carbs, how do people usually feel, right? Whether they're, I mean, veggie carbs, you might feel better than eating a donut.
Right.
But your point is very valid. I spent many years being vegan, and to get protein was different and sometimes difficult.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's harder. And if you are choosing to follow that lifestyle, I really would urge that individual to speak with a professional, speak with a certified nutrition specialist, a functional medicine practitioner, or an RD. Any of those specialties would be able to help guide you in being able to say, okay, we kind of respect respect this approach that you're wanting to take with your nutrition, but here are really some points to consider, and here are some smart ways for you to incorporate protein back into your diet.
Well, I will also say that as someone that has made a lot of lifestyle changes in the last 10 years, especially in the beginning, the way I felt
yeah,
changed tremendously when I was paying attention to the type of food I was eating, somewhat when I was eating it. But, you might be listening right now and maybe you eat donuts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. When you change that, you're going to feel better. Ha, ha, ha. Like, we all know that, right? I will also say that sometimes the timing of things, like assuming that we don't eat like that, some of us, we eat healthy-ish, but when I've eaten too many carbs in the morning, which is fine, but not a lot of protein, by 2 o'clock, I'm kind of tired. I've lost my energy, right? And so I think that would probably likely have a play into things as well in terms of managing your blood sugar level. Does that sound to you like maybe my body was going through a little bit of a crash that we hear about because it wasn't balanced?
Absolutely. So what typically happens is if you're eating more carbohydrates, more refined carbohydrates, you're going to end up on this roller coaster of blood sugar. And so when you're done eating that meal, breakfast, let's say you had your donuts, you will have a burst of energy in the beginning, right? Because all of a sudden your blood sugar is super high and your cells are working rapidly to try to obtain that source of glucose and convert it into energy. But then you will feel a rapid decline because while your blood sugar kind of went way up, behind the scenes, your pancreas is working hard to release enough insulin to make sure it's driving that glucose into the cell. Insulin is think of it as the escort for glucose. Glucose doesn't enter the cell by itself. You need that partner in crime. You need insulin. But too much insulin will then cause your blood sugar levels to plummet, and you will enter what's known as hypo or low blood sugar state. And that's where many times people end up feeling really tired, brain foggy, like they can't think or concentrate until they eat again. They need to take their afternoon nap, right? and so there are a lot of sort of day-to-day energy ebbs and flows when you're not taking in enough of the right nutrients, namely too many refined carbohydrates and too little protein.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. I know a lot of people, I love what you said at the top, talking about food is medicine and how it can help us heal. A lot of people, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't want to speak for those a lot of people. I want to speak for myself, where it has been an evolution where a lot of things that I read or a lot of things I hear, I know are true, but then to actually put it into practice becomes a little harder. You know, how many of us have said like, oh, I get that. Totally makes sense. I'll start tomorrow. And then it just becomes hard. Can you give us first just a few tips off the top of your head that what you might say in terms of balancing your blood sugar, since that was what we're talking about here, what would you suggest for people to do that?
Yeah, so that I think there are a few examples that come to mind, and I'm going to use the first one that came to mind would be, you know, eating a bagel for breakfast. We are both in the tri-state area. I feel like bagels have been an institution, yes. Like from New York, right?
Right.
And so I'll go with that example. But most people will eat a bagel. They'll, you know, spread cream cheese or butter or you know, that's kind of, you know, maybe other spreads, but that's kind of it. And they'll just eat the bagel, maybe have coffee with it and be on with their day. I would say as an initial first step, it's not me saying, okay, switch your bagel out and never eat that again. And I want you to have like a smoothie with protein powder and greens. That's going to be a really hard change, right?
Yes.
To go from that point A to point maybe Z. but you can, instead of eating the entire bagel, maybe you have one side of it, and instead of layering it with cream cheese, maybe you put on it one or two scrambled eggs. Maybe you can layer that on with a few sauteed greens, like sauteed spinach, or you can put in maybe a quarter of a sliced avocado. So all of a sudden you have half of the amount of refined carbohydrates, right? Because you took off the top portion of the bagel, right. And now you're upping the protein, because protein is going to be your most satiating macronutrient. It will keep you the fullest for the longest. And all of a sudden, you may not feel that crash that you do at like 11 a.m. Maybe you don't even need to reach for that snack that you typically need to reach for at 11 a.m. And you can go straight to lunch. Maybe you have your lunch at 12:30, but it is giving you that sustained, really nice energy to carry you through to lunch. But that would be just a simple modification with something that's very commonly consumed.
Right.
On a
rip. Right. I love that. I love that. Now, I knew you're an expert in supplements. And so I want to talk a little bit about, we just talked about your bagel that has really, you know, the fat, the protein, yeah. Yes, the refined carbs, but also you had fruits and vegetables. So supplementation wise, you got it all there. Although I feel like I've heard in recent years that sometimes our body doesn't necessarily digest everything, even though we're taking it in. Can you talk a little bit about that? And kind of, I'd love for you to share your expertise on supplementation, because I think that's an area where, I mean, hey, I'll raise my hand and say, I took Flintstone vitamins when I was a kid, and I thought a multivitamin chewable was the best, and I had everything I needed. Or, I mean, I was 10. But even now, I think it's very tricky and confusing. So can you share with us a bit about it?
It is very hard to navigate, as is the food that we're eating, right? It's like, what is the right diet for me? So I would say supplementation is equally as tricky. And I would say that it requires, it may be that foundational plan that I would suggest for someone where everyone may benefit from, let's say, magnesium and vitamin D, or most of us would. And then there's that level of fine tuning where I feel like if you were to partner with an expert, they can then help you bridge the other gaps that may be applicable to you, but not to, let's say, your friend, because your friend has a completely different genetic predisposition. He or she may have a different diet, different disease condition, and or just wanting to optimize their wellness. So different goals in mind. And so there is kind of that baseline level for supplementation, and then there's that level of fine tuning as well. But I wanted to go back and comment on what you said about, I think I heard that there might be a reason, you know, food, even though food may be going a long way, are we not digesting properly? Are we not absorbing all the food properly? So I just wanted to take a minute to comment there. I think that's a good starting point for us, and just say that as much as I value a food first approach, I mean, it has made a tremendous difference in my own health and well-being and that of a lot of the patients that I work with. The reality is that if you are dealing with a chronic condition, food alone may not be enough, therapeutically speaking, to move the needle biochemically. You may be so deficient in a particular nutrient, let's say, that you need some really potent doses to kind of allow you to come out of that, where you can then reach a new baseline, and then all of a sudden food may be just enough. But that initial point, let's say that was initial 3 to 6 months, you need that therapeutic dosage to get you out of that, that degree of imbalance that your body may be experiencing.
Wow. I didn't know that. And it makes a lot of sense. And then you build it to a different baseline, and then your body is, I remember years ago, I must've read somewhere talking about how our bodies are like, think of it like a garden. If your soil in a garden is, I don't want to say my body's rotten, but let's just say I'm making the analogy here and I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. But if your soil isn't very healthy, if it's old, if it's, again, am I saying I'm old? But then it's harder to grow beautiful flowers. So if your body is just, you know, my body spent many years on, call it overdrive, of drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, eating baked glazed for lunch, and not really having a lot of sleep. And so I had a lot of reasons why when I got cancer, my body maybe didn't know how to take care of itself. And so if nothing else, when I made all those changes, I was on the chemotherapies and the modern medicine, and I really believe in that. It has made me thrive, and changing my lifestyle made a tremendous help. So I believe my garden, where I was the baked lays were the nourishment, the Diet Dr. Pepper was the water. Now I'm drinking a lot more water, and I'm eating a lot more whole foods, plant-based, not so packaged. And so I'm probably, to your point, at a better place of being able to take in. If I ate an apple before, or I ate greens before, maybe my body just couldn't do it, deal with it. So you said magnesium and vitamin D in terms of something that everybody, it sounds like you were suggesting for everybody. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the reality is that our, as you so beautifully stated the soil analogy, our agricultural practices have completely depleted the soil. Like American soil is once had just such a robust amount of minerals. It's uh-huh. no longer the case. And then layer on food processing. That drops what little nutritional value there is left even further down. And so now nearly every single person that I work with is presenting with some level of a nutrient deficiency. Most notably, or the what I think the two most common are, would be magnesium, because of our depleted soils, and vitamin D. Vitamin D is not necessarily coming from the soil. That this is a little bit of a unique nutrient in that it's actually coming from the sun. So sun exposure, and our lives just don't really allow us to step outside for long periods of time anymore. We're stuck indoors often. And so the number of vitamin D deficiencies that I see is pretty profound. And so as a baseline, I feel that those are the two that most Americans could potentially benefit from. You could always do some testing. You could always work with a practitioner to help you investigate further. But I often see that is a pattern.
Now, because of your passion, I can see, because we're right able to see each other right now. I know those listening. I can see she's really excited about this. You work with as a liaison for Body Bio. Why them when there's so many different companies out there?
Yeah. So Body Bio, I feel really fortunate to be able to partner with and work with or work for. I have only been with Body Bio for about 6 months now, and I can tell you that their philosophy and their third-party testing, the rigor at which they are making sure that the supplements that they put together and create are the safest supplements on the market. So for those two reasons alone, I feel really fortunate to be able to partner with them. And I will go a little bit further in terms of their philosophy. It is grounded in the science of cellular medicine. And so when we are thinking about root cause, right, or as functional medicine or nutrition practitioners, we're always thinking root cause. I don't actually think that there's anything more of a root cause or any deeper that you can go than at the cellular level, right? And so their flagship product is called PC, which stands for phosphatidylcholine. And phosphatidylcholine is going to really act as a building block to help nourish your cellular membrane. So before I dive in deeper into the PC itself, I kind of want to give a bit more background on cell membrane medicine, if that's okay. So the thing is that for over half a century, we've held on to this belief that our health is and was pre-programmed into our genes, right? Which is housed in our DNA, which is within the nucleus of the cell. So this is going back to like high school biology 101. Look, yeah. Just if you can visualize the cell membrane and the nucleus right in the middle. And let's think of the nucleus or the DNA as the blueprint that houses kind of the code for hundreds of thousands of proteins that could potentially elicit a strong biochemical reaction within the cell. Now the science is actually moving away from this premise, where it thought that the nucleus was actually the brain of the cell, and it's instead dubbing the cell membrane as the brain. It's actually instructing the DNA within the nucleus as to which proteins need to be made in that exact moment. And so we can think of the DNA within the nucleus as the blueprint, as I mentioned, but the cell membrane as the architect. And you need the architect to take the blueprint and turn that plan or set that plan into motion.
Yes.
So I really hope that analogy helps just to explain how important it is to care for your cells, how important it is to look after your cell membrane.
Yeah.
And when that cell membrane is compromised, now the entire cellular system suffers. And to remind everyone, yeah, that we have trillions upon trillions of cells. And so once one cell starts to go awry, more and more and more and more will start to follow that pattern until tissues and organs start to get compromised, until there's more dysfunction. So disease doesn't start the day that you're diagnosed, right? Disease starts well before, right, that diagnosis state. And so this is kind of thinking very much root cause medicine. And so the PC is a building block. It is coming in to heal and nourish your cellular membrane. It is allowing functionally for the free passage of nutrients into the cell while escorting waste outside of the cell.
Well, and I think that goes back to, in some ways, what we were saying before about the importance of you need that baseline.
Exactly.
So that, right? So that your body can take in the nutrients and help the cells, we'll call it, thrive, right? Yes. So thank you. This is so, you know, as I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh goodness, should I be taking notes? I think maybe that brings me back, like you said, to high school science. But most importantly, you've just said a lot of useful information and tips about the importance of nutrition, the importance of supplementation, and going and talking to somebody, because yes, there can be this, you know, everybody needs this, which I think you were saying was magnesium and vitamin D. Do you think that's the same with kids as well? That they could use it as well?
I agree. Yes. For the pediatric population as well.
Right. No Flintstone vitamins for them.
Nope.
Right. No. So before we end, I always love to end talking about gratitude, because for me, no matter how good or bad my day has been, when I've taken a moment during those hard times to think about what I'm grateful for and why, it really has helped me put one foot in front of the other. Is there anything else that you would like to add on this in this conversation? Because you're such a wealth of information. It's like, I don't want you to go.
I will just say that it's been really a privilege for me to be able to partner with Body Bio, like I said, and to understand, because this is actually, believe it or not, relatively new information for me too. It's only been, like I said, 6 months. So just the amount that I'm hearing about PC and the ability to heal the cell membrane, the ability to then take it a step further to be able to heal and nourish your brain function. PC has been linked to supporting cognitive decline, being able to help support pregnancy, and both for mother and fetus, being able to help support liver function and heart health. I just feel like this is not quite mainstream yet, but I do feel one day we will get there, just because of how critical this compound is to ourselves. So I'll just conclude there.
Well, thank you. And it's always great. Like, I know you're an expert in so many ways, and it just goes to show that, I don't know, and maybe this is what I believe, it's that we should always be students of life. And, you know, here you are, a pharmacist, you've done your functional trainings and various certifications, and now you're continuing to learn and grow. And I think that's also the beauty of science, is that it's evolving in life. It's evolving. And here there's a new compound that could help in so many different ways. And so you're here to learn more about it and to share it with the rest of the world. So thank you for that. And, you know, as I said, we close, if you're new to me, I was just hinting at, we talk about gratitude towards the end of the podcast. I play what's called the grateful game. My son and I made it up when he was 9, and it was a way for him to stay up later at night. But for me, it was a way for me to have a conversation and talk to him about our day and what we liked about it, and open up the doors for other things. So no matter where you're at with your life, with your friends, with your children, you know, talking about what you're grateful for and why can open up many different conversations. And so while we would compete against each other, I'm not looking for us to do that. I just want to ask you, Pooja, and I would like to ask you, the listeners, take a moment and think about, in the last 24 hours, what is something that you're grateful for and why?
I will actually say that in light of our conversation today, what I am grateful for would be my partner, my husband, who from day one has supported this passion of mine. It was a really scary decision, as you can imagine, to step away from an established career as a pharmacist to essentially start all over again. And it meant cutting back on one entire income and taking on more debt to go on through all this additional training. So I'm grateful for my husband, because he's been my cheerleader since day one. Since the time I brought this idea up to him, we put together a financial plan that would allow me to pursue this dream of mine full time. It came with a lot of sacrifices along the way, and so I'm really grateful for his unwavering support.
That is amazing. And I think I can say the same, that my husband's been incredibly supportive, whether it was my health journey or whether it's my entrepreneurial journey. And that is amazing. I will also say that not everybody out there has this. And what I found is from all the other entrepreneurs that I've spoken to at various times, just having support from somebody is huge when you're going into this. So that is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And thanks for being on the podcast. I love your energy, and I love all the information. I feel like we could speak for hours about it. I will include in the show notes for all those of you that are listening, various links to, you know, the different topics that we talked about and the products that we talked about. So if you want to learn more, and obviously Pooja's information. So if you want to reach out, you can go to her for additional questions as well. And thanks again, everyone, for being here today. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'm wishing you tons of happiness and great health. Bye for now. One more thing. I would be so grateful if you'd take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe. You leaving a review helps us with our podcast ranking. The higher we are ranked, the more people can discover our show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sending you lots of happiness and great health.